God is love. That's what He is. Well, what are you going to say hit you? He doesn't have love. He is love. Well, that hit us years ago. It just dawned on me what we're doing. How could love be love if it didn't have anything to love? That's where you came in. I love it when it comes like this in a service, because more and more as He turns me to Himself, I'm realizing that You're what it's all about. You're who He loves. And that brings us closer to He is everything that He said He was. And that is to you. When we take circumstantial evidence, it's hard to believe that He wants to move for you worse than you want Him to. The prodigal son, his elder brother's complaint was, you honored him and wasted your goods. You never killed a cat at fat for me. I never did nothing. Did I say fatted cat? I've never done nothing. And you won't kill a fatted calf for me. He sent the servants out to get him, and nope. So finally the father, you know what he told him? You're ever with me. All that I have has already been yours the whole time. That the problem is you just didn't know me well enough to know that. See? There's a step that's being taken that when you take the first part of it, you can see that kind of revival that he will have has everything to do with the love of God. When he comes like this, everything he is in this presence. It's getting easier, easier to look past people and have faith. One of the keys, which is private worship. There's a reservoir here. That's your spirit that's become just like you. You have a new nature. Then there's His spirit, which you become like. When He said by comparing spiritual things to spiritual, He meant the Holy Ghost could teach you through praying in tongues, because that He could take the new nature you have that's like His and teach you things about Him by using that nature. The more you pray in tongues, the more things will trigger. Because you can't worship God over here without opening a conduit where the love of God will flow from Him to you. When it starts increasing, everything He is will come forward. I saw a crystal that was so clear that it You should have seen what it did to light. Beautiful. So pure. I saw different things being fed into it. One was giving. And it just represent just absolute pureness, like gold. The giving went in one way, came out another. What I noticed most about when it came out the other side was the last thing that that person had on their mind in their giving was themselves. It was themselves. Well, I'm finding a place. It keeps increasing. Well, why would there be a limit? It's what He is. When everything He is comes, then He's here in healing. He's here in. If you have pain in your body, why don't you just stand up now? And pain anywhere in your body, just stand up where you're at. How many believe that God can come through here and take so much pain it's going to make the devil's going to have a kidney operation or something? Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, here He comes. So you just close your eyes and just kind of lift your hands about half mast. Father, I thank You. I worship You and glorify You. Father, I thank You that You've already done this 2,000 years ago. So in Jesus' name, I want to thank You with all my heart that the pain is leaving. I thank You for Your healing anointing that's coming and healing them now. Pain, You'll go. You'll go in Jesus' name. And I thank You, Father, that it's done. Whew. Okay. Check yourself out. Jesus, hallelujah. You remember that Christmas that my whole family came over? You had cheese sitting out on the table, the little sticks, and I just loved them. The year before that, I carried at least 35 more pounds or so than I do now. And I picked the cheese up and I said, look, I just love this stuff. I could eat gallons of it, you know. And I took a bite off of it. And I laid it back down and said, that's all. I had come to another place in His grace. That I found out that strength is available. Standing that He's given us. And I could lock myself up and fast, but after it was done, I'd run a cow down in a field with a handful of rice and throw it on him and eat him. See, fasting is up. I used to wonder kind of what it did exactly, and you go without eating for a long time. But You know what it's developed? It's a tenacity. My body can't make me eat. It can't make me do anything. Part of that was not staying in prayer. That's where you gain ground. You can finish what you start. More of those you finish. When Jesus come down off the mountain after had the visitation from Elijah and Moses, and the disciples that he left down at the foot were trying to cast the devil out, and they couldn't. So when Jesus came, he just told it to come out, and it came out. And he says, how long am I going to have to be here with you? How long am I going to have to do this for you? He said, come out. So later they asked him privately. You didn't want to ask him anything publicly because he'd answer publicly. Can you tell us why we couldn't cast it out? He'd have yelled back, yes, because of your unbelief. I would have waited. Got him alone. He said, because of your unbelief. He gave him a little example. Said, see that sycamine tree? You had faith as a grain of mustard. You plucked up by the replant of this seed should obey you. I'm thinking, what's that got to do with it? Well, a sycamine tree had a horrendous root system. If you were going to clear a field, you're going to have some trouble. The fasting that would move a sycamine tree is the same kind that can help kill those roots that we just don't want to get rid of. And in his conclusion, he says, how be it? He analyzed the whole situation, said, this kind cometh not but by prayer. Then he added, see, here's the kind of unbelief it was. Why would they ask him if they knew why they couldn't cast it out? They'd been casting them out before. Why ask him? Because the kind of unbelief they were dealing with is the most subtle kind. You milk every cell in you for faith and have no idea in the world why it did not happen. Very subtle kind of unbelief that you don't even know you have. When he said, how be it this kind, he meant that kind of unbelief can be dealt with this way, and it'll deal with that then this way. So when that grace began to enforce his standing, it seemed to do so in the most. I can remember when that grace came and I said, I can do this. And I could. Listen, I don't know who this is, so I'm not looking at you on purpose. But the reason I've got to address it, because I know that there's grace in it. See, like Johnny Cash, I think it was, he sang a song called Walk the Line. There's somebody at he's teaching me more about this kind of grace. I wish I knew everything. But you're on this side, then you're on that side. You never seem to grow because it doesn't seem like that you have the strength to get past the problems now that. And he's particularly talking to a person because you're frustrated with where you are. asking him just a moment ago, why can't you do this now? And he said it had something to do with his love and for the fact that it is available. So this is you. Come on up here. Hey, little one, let it happen. What do you think? You think he loves you? What? Do you know this is not you? This is not you doing this. This is him. And that's his grace. You stay with her for a few minutes while he heals her. Just stay in there now for a minute. I have to say this. The gift of healing is plural. As workings of miracles covers turning water into wine, to putting an arm back that wasn't there. The healing also carries physical healing. But we dropped it off there. There's an anointing that's as sure and as powerful as a physical healing. That can take sycamine roots. Just destroy them. That anointing is in its infancy. When Tulsa is raging with revival, we're not only going to see arms and things put on, but we'll get to see the people that live in the graveyards and jump on people and run swines off of cliffs. We're going to get to see them not only delivered, but healed. How do you know? Because we will not have it. That's why. It's the only time two knots ever made sense. Father, in Jesus' name now, dear. That's him, little one. In Jesus' name, release your power now. For Jesus, only you can do. Why wouldn't you do this? There is no reason why you would not. For he that spared not his own son, how shall he not freely with him give you all things? Based on the fact he wouldn't spare him for you, how shall he not? You could hire 1,000 lawyers for 1,000 years to come up with one reason why he wouldn't do it. He's not asking you for reason why he would. How would he not? They can't come up with one reason. So he that spared not his own son, how shall he not freely with him give you all things? How shall he not? He left himself with no choice. Come on. He said freely. So get out of the earning mode. Get it. You couldn't earn it anyway. You don't have enough of anything. Yes, sir. I get to tell you this morning because it came to me last night. So I get to tell you this morning. So before I do, some things belong to God, and all the glory is one of those things. Now, in my private worship, he's honed down the confession that it's went from the worshiping and glorifying hallelujah to an outburst of confession. It went something like this. You're not a man that you can lie. You've exalted your word above your name. Heaven and earth will pass. Your word will abide forever, and I have what I say. So I call myself dead as to the world and alive in you, that I might be able to separate to you all the glory. I thank you for the fullness of your grace. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. And I owe no man nothing but to love him. After that outburst, I go back into maybe another hour just worshiping him and thanking him. Here's how his presence will come. We went to Oklahoma City to go to a big passion play. Only there was really no anointing there. On the way back, I was just praying, God, what would it do to get an anointing in there? He said, if you go worship me all night, you'll find out. Did you? Yeah, a year later. He slew me about the dove, right around the dove there. Said, you don't know nothing about private worship. I read some books. He didn't repeat himself. But this is what I saw. When I consented, yes, could understand what I saw. I saw a rock land in a pond. The first ripple went out to every nook and cranny that it could get into, filled it. And I said, what is that? He said, that is basically my presence through worship filling your spirit. Then came the second wave. And I said, what's that? He said, that's the baptism of your senses and your emotions with my glory and my presence. Then the third one come. I said, what's this one? And the third one was the geography. You heard how Smith Wigglesworth could get on a train and people would fall under conviction. Third one is a baptism of geography. It generally follows the other one. This is a vision I had. Television. First one preacher was on it. He's offering everybody $100,000 return for a measly $1,000 pledge. Anyway, the sinner just absolutely turned off. Then I saw another one. He was demonstrating some miracles, but then the scandalism, that kind of thing came, and it was laced with it, so they had trouble getting unbelievers to believe some of it. But the third one was somebody who had been baptized in the geography of his love. And the guy didn't make it across the room. He started crying and moved into an experience he had not had before. Well, that's just part of private worship. Anyway, some things belong to God, and all the glory is one of those things. You thought I forgot where I was, didn't you? Admit it, you're in church. If your pain left you at the beginning of the service, and when he came, and then stand back up. Pain left you? Stand back up. Yes. Hey, some things belong to God. Why don't you jump up and give him a good one? Then you can have your chair back. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I do get to tell you this. This is a progress report and where we're going basically in revival. And how many knows that the last key he gave me several years ago was the love of God, which as we know never fails. He is love, so there's no end to this key. So it's the last one I'll get. Well, I stayed in this key. And what fueled it, praying in tongues, private worship, things like that, assimilation, meditation. I fueled it and I kept waiting for the next key. No key. So we're at the last one. Well, Gary, you remember particularly when the Lord told me first concerning revival here in Tulsa. That I was outraging in revival. I mean, I was in India and Brazil and Norway and country after country preaching. 6 week meeting in Tennessee, and I'd come back every other weekend and preach here. He moved so much that I didn't have time to preach word like these services. So we created that hour early to come where I broke down the born-again trail, and I'd come in for the weekend and preach and teach and leave Thursday or Monday or Tuesday and go out again. I put 1,000,000 miles on American Airlines alone 10 years ago. This was 10 years ago. That's beside owning my own airplanes when I was 41, 42, 43 years old and flying them. So I've been over the road. And then he sent me to Tulsa. He wanted me to receive an outpouring, was his original instructions. Well, the day came when he told me to come in from the road. The last meeting I had in India, and he was booking another one. I said yes while I was there, but way inside I knew this was coming. And I had to call him up and say, I can't come. Well, the meeting before that, that we just finished up, we had 500,000 or 600,000. 200,000 was born again in the one night. Muslims, Hindus. 5,000 people's teeth were healed in one prayer. This is how some of those meetings work. Well, Brazil's the only country he left me in. And now I'm doing more teaching there than anything else because of radio and television. So I come in and I anchor down here. So I'm teaching, and what do you want me to do? Have a continuous meeting here, and I'm teaching, and the word keeps increasing, and finish the born again trail and other subjects, the walk of the Spirit, the book, everything. And then these guys, Gary and Alan, and there's five more we could name if we just had time to feed them in. There's people coming up that are some of the best teachers I've ever heard in the world. And I've been all over. I mean, you don't know what you got. But I couldn't understand him pulling me back. I couldn't even trust myself. I had to tell Tim, you decide who's going to preach. And so now I'm stepping back. Oh, this service is the one that I'm separated to do right now. This service. But he is letting me step back one more step into him for one purpose, and that's to receive what the assignment is. But he didn't do it until these teachers have come forward in my land. They're moving in the Spirit, teaching. So nothing, absolutely nothing's going to suffer from us stepping back. So I get to do what I do, and they get to move forward and do what they do. So this is the next step, and that is where I have been. And I just understood it last night about what he's wanted me to do now. So ask me, do you mind not doing much now after you were a pincushion on the move? No, Kaza. I'm content as long as I'm where he's at when he's there. So I'm where he is because that's where I'm going. He showed up back, he said. For if people only knew the road that was ahead of them and what I have for them. For those who are looking at the world now are full of fear for the things coming upon it, but not you. Why should you walk in fear when you have me? Did I not give you the last key? My love, when it's under perfection, being perfected, casts out fear. So I would say to you, as the shepherd says to the sheep, come, come, come home. Come home. Anchor yourself in me. And see what I'll pour out and what I can do. For heaven is not dictated by the events that are on this planet. I am what I am and who I say I am. And you shall reap a great harvest in these last days, saith the Lord. And not only will you reap, but you will create reapers and they'll reap. You will teach and impart and they'll reap. For glorious times are coming. For the fire that'll burn here will burn also in other cities, saith the Lord. Amen. We got more things to say about it, but not at the moment. He's after something else right now. There's somebody here, and I know that this time, that you're not here by your own design. God orchestrated things around you because people prayed to get you here this morning to hear this part, and that is that you should pray in tongues. In order to do that, you'd first have to be filled and receive the language, wouldn't you? But you're here this morning. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be my witness. He'll not speak of himself, he said, but he will receive of mine and shew it unto you, which means he will receive of mine, which is the standing I have with the Father as the firstborn, and show that standing I have to you, because that's your standing. He'll guide you into all truth, not push you. Wouldn't you know there's a way to turn the teacher loose on the inside of you on purpose just because you want to? And that's why he gave us something that to the strictest analytical mind is such a mystery. That's a supernatural prayer language, to pray the mysteries of Christ up before the Father, which releases him to answer, and suddenly we're understanding everything Christ is in us, through us, and to us, the hope of glory. Your call is in that prayer language. Your future's in it. Because he that searches the heart already knows what is in God's mind, makes prayer for you according to the will of God. Then you can know all things will begin to work together for the good them called up according to his purpose. He's got a call and a purpose for you. And when you start praying in tongues, you're working all of them. How are you not going to go into the future of your call when you work it out ahead of time? Praying in tongues destroys the strongholds from the past, works miracles in the present to excel you into the future. When the road splits, you'll take the right one because you got there before you got there. Do you hear me? Just for the sake of teaching, here comes the, oh no, the skit. Yeah. God the Father, and Jesus was at his right hand, who was called the Word then, Holy Spirit, he was over on his left hand. They were discussing wanting a family. They start talking about it. So he goes, they go down into the future, and they all look at the future and say, yeah, let's create man. This will be great. And so they looked into the future and he fell. Most costly thing heaven ever sustained was your right for free choice. God is love. What's he going to love? Robot? If he programmed you and pushes the button, I love you, gets nothing out of that. It's my choice. Nothing makes him happier but me, my own choice. I raise my hands and I surrender my life. I'm his. So they look ahead and go, oh. And then Jesus says, well, the Word says, oh, God, now I'll go down and die in their place and take that death penalty, and then we can get the family back. And say, all right. Yeah. And so he goes and they look into the future some more, and they go, well, look here. Even though they're getting born again, look at them. Some of them, they're not even, look, they're not making, they have a nature. They're not overcoming just the flesh. Look at this. So the Holy Spirit says, okay, I'll go down and have the power of God and help them. Okay, you say, yeah. So he goes down and he's walking with them, and they're still going, wonder if I can get by with this. He goes, I'm the power in here. No, no. And they, what's that bothering me? So they go, oh, what are we going to do? Even the power of one of us living in them. So God says, the Father says, you know, I guess we're going to have to do even their praying for them. I guess we're going to have to do their praying. And the Holy Ghost says, oh, yeah, I guess I'll go do that. Oh, one thing, use another language. We don't want them to know what we're praying until it's answered. Last part of it.
I found out about praying in tongues.
What'd you find out?
Man, I can receive a Lexus and then pray in tongues over it. Boom, boom.
So Gabriel told the other angels, okay, when they're doing that, we'll get you. I know we don't have an entertainment, so. All the angels come together at a little portal and they watch this guy. All of a sudden they're just breaking up and laughing. Look at here. He thinks he's praying in tongues about a new Lexus. And did you know what he's really praying? Listen. They go, oh my goodness. Well, I'm an angel. I can say that. They say, oh my goodness. God doesn't care so much about that Lexus, but he would like him to quit yelling at his wife. So just don't pray in anything they'll understand unless we interpret it. See, jump up right there. You're the problem. Not me. So this is a stronghold I have. God. I mean, nobody knows I do that. How come I can't have all these other blessings that's over there? Nobody will find out. So the Holy Ghost prays you, edifies you, builds you up on your most holy faith. Crucify these little devils running around, little problems. Well, you just, all of a sudden you get to this big one up here. You get to see this sin for what it is, only this is through God's eyes. Because he's edified you up above it. He lets you see it through his eyes. And when you do, you know what he's talking about, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. Don't know how to pray as we ought. Makes intercession with groanings. This is when the edification will bring you to the place. When you see that finally through his eyes, you go, oh my God, I can't believe I was ever like that. He'll bring you right past it. The problem can sit down. He's good natured. Listen, how'd you like to go home with that language today? And know every word you're praying is being created by the Holy Spirit out of the mind of God and can be answered and is meant for your edification. So I know you're here. I know you're here because he told me when I went this direction. So he orchestrated everything in your life to get you here this morning. So you could hear these things. So come up. Bring your friend with you if you want. But come. come. For you that are looking funny, if it would have been easier for them to receive, they'd already received before this. That God was looking for a mouth. See, because He wanted them to receive. He loves them. Come on, preachers. He loves Him. He just loves you so much, He orchestrated a whole service. This is so amazing. Is there anyone else? He loves you. You know that, don't you? Welcome home. Is there another? Don't let us, what's the old Western saying, jump a gun? Jump the gun. Anyone else? His interpretation was that he's exceedingly glad that you labored with him this morning and allowed him to meet with you through what he has for you instead of religion. That was basically the thrust of it. How many was in the early service? Oh my gosh, did he teach the hind leg off of a dog or what? Whole parking lot's full of three-legged dogs. My land. Anybody else? Okay. I came up just like you've done. I didn't know what to expect. You know, what are we supposed to expect? And a woman prayed for me. She said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Little did I know, the moment we pray, like when we pray now, He'll step in. What He steps into is your born-again spirit and the new nature you have in there. The moment we pray and say, "Be filled," He's going to step in. Suddenly, my mouth, chin, and tongue started going like this. And the woman praying for me says, "He's got stammering lips." That didn't help much because I didn't know what it was. Little did I know, the moment the Holy Spirit received, He wanted to pray. He began to create those words in my spirit. In the same moment He created them there, supernaturally, my tongue and my mouth began to shape the words that He was forming. So when we pray, this is what's going to happen. He's going to step in and start creating that language. And your tongue and chin and mouth is going to begin to form those words. When that happens, just go ahead. Just say it out. You'll be surprised and pleased with what will happen. So close your eyes so we'll have no distractions. Everybody, under your breath, quietly setting up a great wave of praying in the Spirit. Right, here He comes. Here He comes. Receive. Receive the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. There He is. That's what I was talking about. His kodas, receive. That's it. Now go ahead and speak that out loud. Don't you dare stop now. Check. Oh, that's our, look at that. That's begun. Look at that. Might as well. Can everybody pray louder? Look at that. Oh, Pray for a little bit. Something's going to happen. Something's coming up about a trip. So know it's in his mind when it happens. It's playing with the part of the future. In other words, it's him moving. We're not standing still.